Good morning. This is Dina Marie with Mater Dei Radio. Along with graduations, Mother's Day, and Memorial Day celebrations, the month of May is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. And this summer, the theme for the 49th Annual Catholic Education Retreat at Our Lady of Peace Retreat is Mystical Union with Mary. Retreatants are invited to come and stay at the retreat house in July from the 10th through the 15th to nourish their hearts with peace and quiet, nourish their minds with engaging Catholic conferences, and nourish their bodies with the wonderful hospitality of the sisters. With me today to talk about her involvement in this year's Summer Institute is Sister Teresa of the Society of Mary. Good morning, Sister Teresa. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we are really looking forward to this opportunity for retreat in July with the sisters, and I'd love to hear a little bit about your vocation story and just really what led you to discern religious life and coming into the Society of Mary.
Well, I'm a convert to Catholicism, so it wasn't a question for me. You know, maybe I think girls who grow up in the Catholic Church and a Catholic family have that possibility in their mind. I entered the church right after graduate school at OSU. And it wasn't something I was considering at all, but people would ask me, like, have you thought about religious life? And I'll say, no, not interested. And I really wasn't interested. But as people asked the question, that kind of became annoying to me, because there was this little voice in the back of my mind that I was trying to shut up, you know. And I remember there was this one professor, and he would pray every week in the mass on campus. He would pray for religious vocations from our community. And I always kind of felt irritated at him. So that was obviously the Lord was doing something. And I experienced an attraction to consecrated life really when the St. John Society came to Corvallis. It was the summer of 2005. I was living there. I was working at the Newman Center as a layperson. And I just remember being inspired by their love for Jesus, their normality, their desire to win souls, the way they weren't ashamed to speak about Christ, to evangelize. And so from the beginning, I was really drawn to their ministry and what they did. I didn't know it was possible. I didn't know that there were women doing the same thing. So I wasn't thinking about a religious vocation. I just thought, I really love doing this. But at the same time, I experienced that the Lord was calling me to take a step. And I thought it was to quit working at the Newman Center and go on to graduate school so I could work at the Newman Center full time with a theology degree. But I had been holding on. So I was holding on to the work at the Newman Center. I was holding on to kind of a relationship with a guy that I really liked, and just kind of this desire for my life, like what I wanted for my life. And so I was putting him off. I kept putting off that decision about going on to graduate school. And so then St. John's Society came in July of that year. And I remember just being impressed by them from the beginning. And in November, their two founding priests came up, and one of them told me he would like to speak with me because I worked with the St. John's Society men. And then the conversation didn't happen. So at the end of the visit, he said, well, I didn't have a chance to speak with you personally, but I want you to know if you ever want to come to Argentina, there's a place for you. Mm. And I was like, oh, that was really nice. I thought he was saying, hey, yeah, if you're ever in town, look us up. You know, like something that wouldn't happen. But then I started to think about that, like imagining going to Argentina and doing all these cool Argentinian cultural things like the tango, you know, just all the things you have in your mind, and missioning. And as I imagined it, it became more and more just evangelizing, doing the mission of evangelization. So after that visit, various things happened. The relationship I was in ended, and my supervisor at the time at Newman said there wasn't money in the budget for my meager salary. I was part-time. And I remember when that happened, it was clear the Lord wanted me to start listening to him. So I said, don't worry, he has something else for me. And I started going to adoration every day and just saying, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know how to hear you. Or just speak to me, like just make it clear because I'm not good at this. And one day I was just looking at him there in the Blessed Sacrament. And I just was overcome by how much he loved me. And I had just a realization, like, you love me completely, Lord. You hold nothing back. You give me your whole life, your whole heart, every single day in communion. And I'm giving you part of my life and part of my heart. So I want to love you like you love me, but I don't know how, so tell me how. And what I heard in my heart was, give me your desire to get married. And so I had a struggle. It felt like a very long struggle. I have no idea how long it was until I just said, okay, take it. And when I said, take it, when I surrendered, I felt this deep joy and this peace, some fear, of course, too, but this deep joy and peace. at the College of the Vocation. So then, of course, that was tested and I had to discern it more deeply in spiritual direction. But that was it. And there was never a question for me of where, because my vocation was awakened by the apostolate of the St. John Society. So when I found out there were women who were just beginning in Argentina too, doing the same thing or a similar thing, it was really clear to me that that was my vocation. It was a call to serve the Lord and the Society of Mary and the work of the new evangelization. To be completely his so I could be for others. Yes.
Yeah. What a great thing to hear, sister. The seeds have been planted. And then that invitation, well, if you think about coming to Argentina, and then I imagine you did so, you were able to go and spend time in Argentina, right?
Right. So then after about a year of discernment, my first mission trip was to Mexico. It was 2 weeks in Mexico. And that's where the Lord really confirmed my vocation. And then the following year, I was able to go for 7 weeks to Argentina for an experience, came back for a few months, and then went and I lived there for several years, actually. So my beginning, I entered the Society of Mary in Argentina. We weren't in the States yet. There was one house in Argentina. Yeah.
And I think what a great lesson about adoration, sister, that spending that quiet time listening, not talking, not saying all of these things to the Lord, but also that word surrender that you mentioned. And I know archbishops mentioned that surrender novena so much of Jesus, I surrender it to you.
Right. Right. Because he knows what he created us for.
Yeah. And you said yes. And we are so grateful. We are so grateful. And I can just see the joy in the hearts of Jesus and Mary because of that yes. Sister Teresa is with us. She's going to be one of several speakers at the retreat at Our Lady of Peace in July. Actually, it's a summer institute, a full week, and we're looking forward to having her come and the Society of Mary being present. If you could describe a little bit, since the community has grown and it's such a new community, it's so beautiful, just describe a little bit about some of the different activities that you do here within the Archdiocese of Portland.
So we're kind of all over the place. One of our sisters is currently serving at the OSU Newman Center, the campus ministry there. So she goes down from our house in West Flynn a few days a week, and other apostolic endeavors in Corvallis area. I serve at St. Michael the Archangel in downtown Portland, liturgy coordinator, but I do many things, work with our mercy missionaries and our various programs of evangelization. And also on the pastoral council for the archbishop. And then all of the sisters have some role in our San Juan Diego program, which is for the Hispanic community. And we just had our Congreso with them, which is a gathering of all the communities with, there were 1,500 people there. So that was a huge, beautiful event, the fruit of many years of work and sowing. And then several of us are teaching theology at Central Catholic, actually. This year they had a teacher quit, and so we got called in to be like permanent subs for the rest of the year. And then we recently opened the Old River Pastoral Center for the new evangelization in Westland, Oregon. And that's where we sisters are residing. It's an apostle of the St. John Society, which we share with them. And there we have Sunday masses and the high school program, which is the first time we're doing it in the States, an outreach program for high school students called Cenáculo. And we had the first retreat for them in Holy Week, and there's about 20 some students, I think, participate in each week in the weekly meetings. Yeah, that's the bulk of what we're
doing. That's just a little bit, and there's so much. It's so beautiful, and I love the mission of evangelization and really reaching into the heart and bringing those relationships together in community, but most importantly, the relationship with Jesus Christ. Sister Teresa, I want to ask you more about your talks because they're going to be surrounded about Mary. Will you stay with me? We're coming up to a break, but we'll get back on the other side of the break and continue our conversation.
Of course.
Good morning. This is Dina Marie with Mater Dei Radio, and I'm back with my conversation with Sister Teresa. She's one of the members of the Society of Mary, and they have a new residence in West Lynn. So for those of you in that community, boy, I would certainly invite you to check them out with their masses. And if you'd like to reach out to our high school young people, what a great ministry to reach out and to cooperate with the sisters and the Society of Mary. Sister's going to be one of three main speakers. She'll join Steve Ray, I've got my calendar here, and Father John Horgan. And the focus for this particular institute, sister, is the mystical union with Mary. And that's the theme for this institute. And your particular focus is going to be, I love this, praying like Mary. And I just want to have you reflect a little bit about what you hope to bring and just some of your reflections in terms of bringing this idea of Mary with the retreatants during this week-long institute.
So Mary is the person who is most configured with Christ who's ever lived, the most Christ-like person who ever lived. And that's what holiness is, to be configured to Christ. So our model for prayer is Jesus, and of course, always with the Father. But Mary teaches us in the way that's, because she wasn't also God, you know? So sometimes you can look at Jesus and be like, yeah, but you're God, so it's a little challenging. But Mary models prayer for us, I think, in a way that's very simple and attainable. How to enter into communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I think many have this idea that prayer, the prayer of the holy ones, is always accompanied by extraordinary signs, you know, like you hear of saints who levitate or bilocate. But the prayer of Mary is really simple. Actually, it's very simple and it's very doable, something that all of us can attain and aspire to. So hers was a prayer of really listening to the Lord. She took all of his words and pondered them in her heart. That's what you see her doing over and over. So she's a model for our meditation, how to listen to the word of God. But also her intercession in the wedding at Cana, she brings the needs of others to the Lord very simply and entrusts them to him. She doesn't stand there demanding, or she just brings them to him. So I think there's a great simplicity and sincerity in her intercession. And also she allows the word of God to grow in her, literally. Jesus, the incarnate word, grows in her. And she has a great, I think her prayer models a great acceptance of reality. At the foot of the cross, she's praying. She's accepting the reality of her son being crucified for our salvation. In faith, without knowing yet, I think, his resurrection. It's okay, I don't understand why this is necessary this way, but I trust. So there's a lot of trust in her prayer. I think looking at how Mary prayed gives us a lot of insight into how we can pray in ways that will really configure our heart more and more to the heart of Christ. So what that, like Mary, what pierces his heart can pierce our hearts.
That's right. One of the things that will be happening during this institute is there's three different conferences throughout the day. Of course, Holy Mass every day, opportunity for morning prayer, opportunity for confession, opportunity for Eucharistic adoration. And you mentioned earlier the really big, powerful value of that time alone with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. For you, Sister, with the different ministries that you and the sisters do, you know, the role of retreats and kind of coming away for conferences, for quiet time, you know, how does that really help us in our day-to-day life in developing our faith with the Lord?
Mm-hmm. They're a really important part of our mission of evangelization, actually, so that most of our programs of evangelization begin with a charismatic retreat where we announce the message of the gospel and people are led to faith in Christ or to renew that faith. And then we really encourage people because it's so necessary to have a rhythm of our spiritual life. We have a daily rhythm, your moments of prayer that need to be scheduled in or we don't do them. A weekly rhythm, so maybe like a holy hour each week. A monthly rhythm, a day where you take more time away to pray with the Lord. And then a yearly rhythm where you should have, I think every Christian should have an annual retreat. Time where they go away so they can listen to him. Because even our daily prayer can sometimes be caught up with all our distractions, all the things that are happening in our lives and hard to focus. And we need to take time away with him, just to be with him, just to listen to him, let him speak to us, time away from our cell phones and our work and our schedules, and just let him speak to our hearts. And I think retreats are the best way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's what a great opportunity, particularly to focus on this mission or this message of Mary. And as you said, Mary really is the one who brings us so close to Christ that, and every speaker is going to have a little bit different focus and perspective of Mary. But again, it is to get in connection with our Lord Jesus Christ and to strengthen that. You're going to be sharing each evening, Monday through Thursday, they'll have what's called the evening lecture series. And each speaker will talk one of those evenings, Monday through Thursday. And I love your title, Mary's Joy. And so I just want to have you share a little bit about, you know, being a convert, how has Mary brought joy into your own life?
Great question. You know, that was, Mary was one of the most difficult things for me in my conversion. I didn't see a need for her, and I kind of resisted, and I didn't understand her role. But as I've surrendered more and more to the Lord, that was something I just had to surrender and say, okay, I'm going to trust here where I don't see. I've experienced her closeness in ways that it's hard to explain, but she's a very motherly presence. So I often think of her, you know, like when you're a little child, your mom does all these things for you, you don't even notice, but they make it possible for you to live this joyful, carefree kind of life. I think Mary does that in a sense. But also I've experienced that she always leads me back to Jesus. She always leads me back to Jesus. Some years ago, I had the privilege of going to Medjugorje, where Our Lady appears. And every day I wanted to go up Apparition Hill to be with her. And every day after a while, I would hear her say, okay, now go to my son. Now go to my son. And I would have to go back down the hill and go to the Adoration Chapel. Not a terrible thing to have to do. I love adoration. But so the first way she brings joy to my life is by bringing me closer to Christ. She always leads me to him, and he's the source of our joy. But then I just think there's so many details, so many maternal and feminine details of her love that get expressed when you draw closer to Christ, because closer to Christ, you're closer to her as well. And those things bring joy, little details, little signs of her presence and of a mother's love. And yeah, so I think that brings me joy, that her bringing me close to Christ and the way she does maybe small things that help me see his presence and his love.
Yeah. Sister Teresa with us. She's going to be one of the speakers at the 49th annual Catholic Education Retreat with the Sisters at Our Lady of Peace Retreat. This time will be in July, the 10th through the 15th. So it's a wonderful time. As you said, Sister, it's great at least once a year, or I even challenge people once a quarter to take time off for a retreat. Maybe it's a one day, maybe it's a weekend, but this is a little bit longer. Take this time instead of a vacation, a praycation, you know, to really focus on prayer. And I really hope people come and spend the time. The evening lectures are great for folks who live in the area to come and listen to the different talks. And there's really this beautiful focus this year on the mystical union of Mary, or mystical union with Mary. And again, OLP Retreat is the website if people want to get more information and to participate. Sister Teresa, for our listeners, how can they find out more about your community if they want to reach out to you and see if they can collaborate with you in some way in ministry?
So they can. The first thing I would invite them to is our Sunday Mass at 11:30, the Old River Pastoral Center in West Lynn. Most of our community is there most Sundays, depending on our activities. You can also check out our website, which is socmaria.org, socmaria.org, where they can see our houses in Argentina, get a deep, more of a sense of our mission, of our formation process. Yeah, I think those would be the best ways.
Beautiful. And then they can come in person and really take part in the opportunity to pray together and to continue to grow in our faith at the Sisters Retreat House in the month of July. Sister Teresa, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us, sharing your vocation. And I would love to ask you to help us close this time. Would you lead us in prayer?
I'd love to. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we give you thanks and we praise you because you are risen, you're alive. See, where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there in their midst. We praise you, Lord, because you are the one who knows us perfectly. You know what we need to follow you more. We praise you, Lord, for having given your mother to us from the cross so that she can accompany us also in our lives. The way she leads us closer to you, the way she teaches us to listen to your heart. We ask you, Lord, for the grace of being configured to you like she was, so that what pierces your heart can pierce our hearts. What you love, we can love. Where you go, we can follow you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister. Have a blessed day.
You too.